Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
To realize here on this earth. I think one of the greatest tragedies that can ever happen is we get to heaven and realize what we missed out on that we could have possessed while we were here on earth. Because I think the emphasis in the Western church has been on heaven. Amen. Let's get out of here and get to heaven where we can rest on a cloud. Lord, give me my mansion. I remember them songs they used to sing, Lord, build my mansion next door to Jesus. Well, if he builds everybody's mansion next door to Jesus, I don't know how this is going to work. Somebody's going to be on the outskirts of town, and I don't know which one of y'all is going to be, but it ain't going to be me, right? We put a lot of emphasis on getting our ticket punched and getting to heaven. And you know what's amazing to me? One of the greatest books in the Bible is the book of Romans. And you know it doesn't talk very much about dying and going to heaven at all. It talks about a lot of glory, but it's not talking about future glory. It's talking about glory that we possess right now. And if Romans chapter 8, if Romans is one of the greatest books in the Bible, you go to Romans chapter 8, which is arguably one of the best chapters in the Bible, arguably. We can argue it later. Don't talk about heaven much at all, does it? It talks about there is therefore now. It talks about right now. We've been ordained to walk in this thing right now. I'm going to try not to yell at you tonight, but I do want you to realize how awesome an opportunity that we have to realize some things right now. It's why we wrestle against principalities and powers. The reason we wrestle against them is because they understand who we are. Amen. And because they understand that, they try to make us forget or be occupied with something else than who we are in Jesus. We are wrestling against principalities and powers. We are wrestling against the rulers of the darkness of where? This world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are wrestling here in this world. There is some dominion that needs to be exercised by the children of God. Despite what you may have been taught, the gifts have not ceased. Healing has not stopped. Revivals have not ended. Mass conversions are still possible. And I believe that because Scripture bears that out. Jesus said, these works will you do and greater. We want to clarify this one more time. He's coming back after a bride that has made herself ready. He's not coming back after a weak, anemic, frail, defeated church. But he's coming back after the church that he built upon the rock that he said the gates of hell will not prevail against that church. You know what that gives me hope for? That gives me hope in the day that I live in when it looks like evil is making its advances very quickly. I realize that there is a church in the middle of this planet that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. I want to serve notice to the devil that I'm part of that church, and there isn't any way that we come out of this without a victory, because we're founded on the Christ, we're founded on the revelation of who he is, and we're founded on the blood of a Savior, and there's no devil can take that. Stop yelling. We got to understand who we are. How long are you going to preach this until we get it? Because we walk in defeat too much. We miss the point too much. Listen, if you're okay with getting saved, washed in the blood, and you're on your way to heaven, and that's your whole goal, this sermon is not for you. But there are a lot of sermons in a lot of churches. And there's a lot of tracts that have been given out. It amazes me that the plan of salvation is called the Romans Road. And it's got about four steps. And in the end of it, you get to go to heaven. You got to repent and you end up in heaven. That's the Romans Road to salvation. When I read Romans, I don't get that anywhere. What I get is we have been ordained to be salt and be light. And it's not about just punching our ticket. It's about wreaking havoc on the forces of darkness and letting the kingdom of God flourish while we're here on earth. Are you hearing me? You're part of that kingdom. I got this cool revelation today. I've never thought about this. I've been preaching for a long time. 30 years now I've been preaching. For 30 years. And Brother Eddie, this I don't know. I don't know why I didn't see this before. I don't know why I didn't get this before. But just today I got this. And I went, wow, why have I never thought of that before? Every time I've heard them call Jesus King of Kings, I've thought about kings in other countries because we have a president here. And he's like the greatest king of all that's ever been called king. Anybody else with me? Like, it doesn't matter how high the kingdom was and how great they were. He was greater than all the kings. And so I start thinking about, wonder if the kings understood. But the Bible didn't say he was the greatest of all kings. He said he was the king of kings. Oh. So who are the kings that he's king of? He's their king. Who are those kings? Look at the person beside you. Man, I thought he was talking about some King George and King, he was greater than King Alexander and all these leaders. That's not what he's talking about. He hath made us to be kings and priests. We're the kings. He's the king of the kings. But we got to understand who we are. We are kings and we are priests. That means that we must speak with authority because he has called us to be kings. He's not the king of King George. He's the king of King Damon. He said, did you just call yourself a king? I didn't call me that. He did. Do you need to see it so you can trust me? I think it's Revelation 3 and 21. Take me there just in case. If not, this is going to be a good verse. And wherever we land, I think I can preach whatever he throws up there. This ain't in my notes. Revelation 3, 21. Back up a verse. Go to 3 and 20. Nope. Wrong one. But this is good. Go to 3:21 again. Watch what this is. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So here's the way I looked at it, Dustin. I looked at it like, okay, this all just happened today. I said, he's the king of all. He's the king of kings, right? So grab me some chairs. Come here. This is dangerous. It's getting ready to get dangerous, but it'll be all right. So, come here. You're a king, and the Bible says that he hath raised us together to. This is good. This is so good. You're still working, and he's saying, sit down. y'all didn't get that. That's why you're running around all tore up all the time. You're a king. Sit down. You're a king. Sit down. See, y'all think I'm going to pick y'all. Y'all don't know what I'm going to do, do you? Johnny's like, do I get to go? Can I go? Can I go? Well, let me ask you. To him that overcometh, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Right? So this was my picture. This is my picture. Come on. Come on. You want to be a king? So I'm thinking they're called to sit And then he's the King of Kings. So he's got their back, right? Does anybody picture this stuff when they read it? Because I don't know. I picture it. I got this stuff going on. And sometimes I picture it all wrong. Anybody? And then you read a little further and you go, nah, that ain't it at all. Y'all know how I used to picture heaven, right? Remember the story? I've preached it a bunch. How I used to picture heaven, what it looked like. And then I read the Bible and I was like, heaven don't look like that at all. Right? So this is why I'm picturing he's the King of Kings. So it's like, hey, these are my kings and I'm the King of Kings. So I got this throne that I'm sitting on that my father allowed me to sit on because it's his throne. Well, this is good. There's only one big throne in heaven. Right? The Father and the Son are sitting on the same throne. I don't have time to go into all that. It'll confuse some of you anyway. Point is, he's sitting on the throne that's in heaven. I used to think there was a little throne over on the right-hand side of the big throne. Nope, one throne. So what's wrong with this picture? He said, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Get up. Take your chair. I can't use all of y'all. This will never work. But you're going to get the point. Get up. Stay right there. No. Don't. Get up. Okay. Insurance purposes, I'm glad you're my kid. Here you go, Johnny. How many thrones are in heaven? Check this out. This is, man, I about shouted today. Who's sitting on the throne? Jesus is sitting on the throne. Whose throne is he sitting on? What'd he say? My Father's throne. Is that what he said? So Jesus is sitting on his Father's throne. I don't have time. Man, I wish I had time. Man, I should take time. I can't take time. All right, so he's sitting on the throne. It's one throne. Watch this. He says, come on. That's the verse. Is that not the verse? See, you got to understand where you're sitting. You keep putting yourself in a place, and he's trying to put you in this place. Where? Sitting with him. Now, who is this to? The overcomer. The overcomer. Guess what? You don't get to sit here if you're not an overcomer. Why would Paul tell us to fight a good fight? I'm going to tell you why. Because when you win some battles, there are some things that are granted to you. Are you good? Everything good? Okay. Don't tell your mom. Some of us are stuck in Galatians chapter 4. Some of us are stuck in this place. We're stuck in that spot where he said, you got to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Kevin, here's what we did for so long. We've tried to convince people that if they got bondage and they're entangled in bondage, it's okay because they're still Christians. And everybody gets okay with that. Understanding that, well, there's things going on in your life, but he's still your father, and he still loves you, and all that's true. The problem is, until you grow up, you're on the same level as a servant, Paul said, even though you be Lord of all. Are y'all with me? Man, you ought to be getting excited. Because when you get this, you're going to quit playing around with bondage and being okay with asking God to forgive you every time you do the same thing when he's already given you victory over that and he wants you to walk in victory. Because when you walk in victory, let me say it like this, if you're faithful over a few things, he's going to make you ruler over many, and it's not in the sweet by and by, it's right now. So, John, I'm begging God. You know why I'm begging God? Because I'm not an overcomer. You know why we beg him? Because we're not overcomers. But let me tell you what an overcomer does. An overcomer sits in the, oh man, an overcomer sits on the throne. See, I used to think, come boldly to the throne meant that you come and knelt down before it. He's like, come boldly to the throne. Come here, let's do this. Do you understand? He's the firstborn among many brethren. Do you know what he's called you to do and called you to be? Man, we've been walking around for too long fighting things that we don't need to fight, but we've already been made overcomers in those things. Our prayer is on this Wednesday night, somebody gets deliverance. We're arguing crazy stuff. We got people caught up in crazy stuff. We got people dealing with elementary stuff and wonder why God's not moving. I'm going to tell you why. Because you're never going to overcome a devil that you like playing with. Remember this? Remember this illustration? Stand up. You got girls. You're playing patty cake with the devil and you're wondering why God ain't moving, but there's something reserved for the overcomer. And when the overcomer walks in what he's supposed to walk in, you have authority. Look at your neighbor and say, salvation is free. Look at him and say, this isn't. The anointing is going to cost you something. You know what's going to cost you? Overcoming. It's going to cost you winning some battles. Hey, listen. Everybody, listen real close. Listen. Everybody listening? Everybody with me? I want to make sure everybody's looking at me. It's going to cost you crucifying your flesh. You clap until it's time to fast. Nobody claps when it's time to fast. How many people get up on fast day and they're like, today's the day I'm not eating for 24 hours. Today's the day I'll start 3 days with no food. You don't do that. You don't clap for that. It hurts your flesh, but it feeds your spirit. What do you want to win? I'm going to tell you what you want to win. Your spirit. Oh, because the flesh profits nothing. Nada. Zippo. Zero. Nothing. But you know what? The devil's job is to convince us that our flesh is worth it. Can I keep going? Ephesians 2, 5 through 6. Even when we were dead in sins, hath Christ quickened us together with Christ. Hold on. Give me this verse. Hath quickened us together with Christ by, say it again. By what you're saved? Grace. What's grace? The unmerited favor of God. Right? That means you get stuff that you don't deserve. Thank God you don't get what you do deserve. That's called mercy. But grace is you're getting things that you don't deserve. You didn't do anything to earn them. Here's what's awesome. We put so much emphasis. I'm a free will guy. I am a free will guy. I am. I'm like, man, you got free will. I'm all about it. I'm more free will than a free will Baptist. You got a choice, and your choices have consequences, and they have blessings. Man, I'm about God calls you and you have a choice. And the reason I believe this is because he gave Jezebel a space to repent. He sure did. You think he didn't? He's like, nah, she's not going to. So I'm going to watch this. I'm going to trick her. I know she's not going to. But God ain't going to waste his time. He gives people opportunities. Now you got this choice. And in this choice, you get to choose which way you're going to walk. And your flesh pulls you one way, but the spirit pulls you another. Can I get a witness? Amen. I got to tell y'all this. When I was in Sunday school as a teenager, our Sunday school teacher taught us about fasting. He said, don't ever go to the grocery store while you're fasting. You ever went to the grocery store while you were hungry? He said, don't ever go when you're fasting. He said, you come out with a jar of pickled pig feet. You're like, man, that looks good. Who in the world came up with that idea? Anyway, leave it alone. Your flesh pulls. It pulls. It pulls. We had a conversation the other night about modesty. You know what modesty is? Oh, everybody got nervous. You know what modesty is? It's your life pointing to him. You know what immodesty is? Your life pointing to you. A couple amens. If we're going to live in a way that's pleasing to him, we got to get our flesh out of the way. Now, if you want to stay down here and keep wandering around down here and keep repeating the same thing you've been repeating for a lot of years, that's your choice. But I'm going to give you an alternative. The alternative is to submit to him, overcome whatever it is that comes your way, and you move closer to him. Listen what happens. When you get closer to him, victory becomes easier. Am I right or am I right? It's hard to win the battle when you're far away from him. Watch this. When we're talking about being far from God, we're not talking about distance. We're talking about likeness. You can't outrun God. I love when people say he's running from the Lord. Should I do it? Should I do it? Growing up, I used to watch Droopy. Did you ever watch Droopy Doll? Did you watch that? Yeah, you. And that wolf would run and run and run and run. And he would get inside a house and he would take boards and he would nail it shut and he would turn around and there'd be Droopy.
You didn't expect to see me here, did you?
That's what he would say. Remember? Everybody know what I'm talking about? That's how it works. How are you running from God? You running from God. And when you get there, guess who's there? God. You can't outrun him. He fills all things. Everything consists of him. You can't run from him. But what we're talking about, when we're saying somebody's running from God, they're trying to get away from his likeness. What that means is the closer that I get to him, the more I become like him. You know what's going to happen? Eventually, the children of God, the family of God, are striving to be conformed to his image. If we're all looking like him, we're going to start looking like each other. Not physically, spiritually. Why is that important? Because in unity, something begins to happen. Why do they give an army a uniform? Why do they all wear the same uniform? So that they are a unit. Are you with me? We have this armor that he has commanded us to put on. We all got the same armor because we're in a battle for the souls of men and women. Can you say amen? So what happens is when you get the seat, when you get the seat, you get a voice. I gotta try it again. When you get a seat, Christy, we get a voice. That means we can bind some things. And we can lose some things. I know that's talking about church government. I know that is. I understand the context of that scripture, but I understand this too, that when you are in authority and when you are in subjection, there's some things that you can liberate. Let me say it like this. We're able to pull some people out of the fire. The only way we can pull them out of the fire is if we have already, the fire has already done its work on us. There's an army in the Old Testament that when they fall on the sword doesn't hurt them. You want to know why it doesn't hurt them? Because it's already cut everything out of them that's able to hurt. Then the sword becomes useful because it doesn't hurt us anymore. If somebody reads a scripture and you're bothered by it, you need to pray. Ooh, I don't like that. You know what's really interesting? God has never asked me, hey, Damon, what do you think about that right there? Never. And we're pretty good friends. He's never said, hey, how do you feel about this? Where you at? As we was giving away the things, Autumn invited somebody to church. They said, hey, how do you feel about this? She asked me, she said, how do I answer that? How do I answer that? I said, tell them it doesn't really matter how we feel about it. What matters is what the Word of God teaches about it. And if they'd like to know what the Bible has to say about it, then somebody will reach out to them. But you know what everybody wants to know? How you feel about it. You know what happens when you fall in love with him? There is some sacrifice that takes place and you put your feelings aside for his purpose. Glad you're here, aren't you? Like, I didn't come here Wednesday night to hear this. Sacrifice, crucifying my flesh. Lift me up, preacher. It's midweek. I'm tired. I want you lifted up, all right. I want you sitting in the seat. You say, man, I didn't write it. I'm picturing little seats. He's like, no, you can sit on. Did I read it right or did I read it right? You sit over there. You sit over there. You sit over there. He said, come here. Come here. Sit right here. Because when we get there, Zach, we have a voice of authority, but we have to overcome to get there. This is so cool. How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our, what it should our testimony be about the Lamb, right? You get this? This is great. This is great. You get there and you get to sit with him when you overcome. And guess how you overcome? Through him. Your flesh is going to get in the way. Get it out of the way. How do I do that, preacher? You know how to do it. You know how to overcome yourself. You've done it before. You've won a time or two, ain't you? And it feels so good. When the devil comes and he tempts you to do whatever he wants you to do. Whatever it is. You know what? Some people love to gossip. Was it you, Brother Eddie, said, if you got a secret, you can tell me because by the time you leave, I've already forgot what you were talking about. Some people love to gossip. You know what the enemy does when you like to talk about people? He sends you somebody that likes to talk about people. And some of them don't even hide it. They don't even hide it as a prayer request. They don't say, oh, listen, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but we really need to pray. But so-and-so is, they don't even veil it. They come up and say, man, I got something juicy. And you know what? If you're one of those people, there's a war goes on inside of you. And you say, I should tell them I don't want to hear it, but I kind of do. Kind of do. Try to see who's laughing the hardest, because usually that means you're the guiltiest. Man, I can, now y'all are like, everybody got quiet in their lap. Mouth shut. You know what the enemy does? He sends people to tempt you and things to tempt you because he knows your weakness. If that's your weakness, you know what's awesome? You might make somebody mad when they come to you and say, oh, I got something juicy. And you say, hey, listen, I really don't want to hear it. Oh, you want to hear this. You know what's really awesome is when they start out like this. You got to promise not to tell because I promise not to tell. So first of all, not only are you gossiping, you're lying to whoever you promised that you weren't going to tell. You got to promise not to tell. I promise not to tell. Well, if it's so good, you can't keep it. What do you think? You think I'm super? You know what's awesome is when you say, listen, I really don't want to interfere with my walk with God right now. So if it's not edifying, I don't want to know it. Anybody ever done that? Raise your hand if you ever done that. I'm the only one in here that's done that. There's a couple of you. Man, I did that one time. I said, hey, I want to tell you something. I said, hey, listen, that's my brother in Christ, and I really don't want to hear it. And they looked at me like I was crazy. But, man, I felt good. Because you know what? Victory after victory after victory after victory after victory. Come on, musicians. I want to sit beside him. Jesus, when you enter your kingdom, can my sons sit with you on your throne? He said, that's not mine to give. That scripture messed me up. You mean Jesus didn't get to decide who sits with him? He said, that's not mine to give. Here's how you know. Here's how you get there. You take it. How do you take it? By walking in victory. Vicki, I want this little church and this little storefront to become the most victorious church in Southern West Virginia. Why? Because then we have a voice. As long as we're a child and we're under tutors and we still... No, ain't we supposed to do it twice? Like, well, both hands. Okay, one. No, yeah, no, no. One. Let's go. One, one, two. Yeah. See if you can keep up. As long as we're doing that, and whatever that is, you know what's funny? You know what that is. When I say that in your life, and whatever it is that the devil keeps you occupied with, as long as we're doing that, we got our back turned to what he's ordained us to walk in. This is good. All right, y'all ready? Y'all ready? Whew, such a good sermon tonight. They all came to sing. They all wanted to be part of it. Every one of them. I want to walk in victory. I want to walk in truth. If not one single word of Samuel's fell to the ground, I can pray that happens with me as well. All these people in the Bible, they were like passions, just like we were. They were people too. Y'all laughing at me, but I'm like, God, if Enoch didn't have to die, I don't either. So I'm praying I'm just going to live forever. You're like, you don't. Well, you know what? You just pray to die and let me live forever. What makes Enoch better than me? Well, he's in the plan of God. Me too. Me too. Y'all looking at me funny? I don't care. I don't even care. I'm saying, you know what? I'm praying for healing, to walk in healing, to walk in truth, to walk in peace, because it's already been paid for. I don't have to walk in anxiety. I don't have to walk in fear. I don't have to walk in unbelief. I got a seat, man. I got a seat, and it's not below him, it's beside him. Man, give me somebody. I want to pray for somebody. Give me somebody that says, you know what? I believe what you preach tonight. I want to walk in that. I want to be a warrior for the King. He's the King of all kings. I know who I am. I'm a king. I'm a king. I'm a priest. He ordained me for that. Come on, help me. Help me. Help me. We're going to pray. We're going to pray believing this. Doug, I'm believing that Affinity Coal Mines can see a revival through you. You say, oh, I don't know. That's your problem. You don't know. I believe that some men down there at that mines can see Jesus in you. They find their way to a relationship with him, and their whole family's blessed, and eternities are changed. I believe it.
I've been told to live my own truth.
That Affinity Coal Mines can see a revival through you. You say, oh, I don't know. That's your problem. You don't know. I believe that some men down there at that mines can see Jesus in you. They find their way to a relationship with him, and their whole family's blessed, and eternities are changed. I believe it.
I've been told to live my own truth.